salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. Our Lord Jesus has told his disciples, his apostles, about the things that he is going to do at Jerusalem, and things that are written in the scriptures that he would do, that they would be accomplished. He'll be delivered into the Gentiles. He'll be mocked. He'll be spitefully entreated, spitted upon. They'll scourge him and they'll put him to death. And the third day he would rise again. And we find that amazing. Our Lord Jesus speaking that way about his death. And he says, and I'll die, and 3 days later, I'll be alive again. I'll take my life back again. And you and I, we wouldn't even consider to speak like that, because we know as it is with mankind, when we die, we're dead. And that's all there is to it. We go on to the next life. When our souls go back to God who gave it, the scripture says, for judgment and for blessings for the redeemed, and eternal damnation for the accursed and the unrepentant. And so, but for the Lord Jesus to speak this way, it's just, they just didn't understand it. And it says as much here in verse 34, they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And you know, that's the way it is with the Word of God. The very Word of God is very clear, and yet it is, there is a mystery that is therein, and sinners can hear it, but not hear it. But sinners can hear it and truly hear it with their hearts. And even the disciples here being saved and being going with the Lord Jesus these months and years, they didn't understand what he was saying, even though he referred to it being in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures. In verse 35, it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, over there east of Jerusalem, over around the Mount of Olives, over there near the Jordan River. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. I tell you what, this passage is just a wondrous passage. It's a blessing indeed. This man that is a leper, a blind man, rather, I'm sorry. He's there by the wayside, and he's begging. He can't see, and they're coming out of Jericho. This sits this man, and so the Lord Jesus is coming to Jericho, and this man is on that road. They're begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So the man hears the commotion. He said, what's going on? What's going on? Hey, come here. What's going on? And so he pleads the people to say, what's going on? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming this way. He's on his way. He's heading into the city. And this man, no doubt his hearing, as it is with the blind, it becomes very acute. And he hears the din of the crowd and the commotion in the crowd getting louder and louder and louder. And so he knows that that's the case. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, verse 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So this man had heard what Jesus had done. He'd heard the healing. He heard about the preaching of the word of the Lord. All of Israel is abuzz about this man, Jesus from Nazareth. No doubt this man had likely heard that Jesus healed the blind. That could very well be the case. And so he yells unto him, and notice what he says. This man has knowledge. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knows that he is the son of David. Yet his father and his mother, being in the lineage of David, were essentially exiled from the kingly family and position, living in Nazareth, of all places. Low down, blown out, burned out Nazareth is where they lived. But they are both of the lineage of Brother David. And so, this man knows the lineage of the Lord Jesus. And so he cries to him in that, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How was it that he knew that? How was it that he knew that Jesus was the son of David? Had he heard about some of his preaching about such? We don't know. We don't know what it is, but he knew that he's the son of David. Indeed. And he says, have mercy on me. He believes that this Jesus of Nazareth, who is of the lineage of David, can do something for him. He can help him. He can help him in some way. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And it was come near, he asked him. There's another account in the Gospels, and I believe it's of this same account, where the people say, hush, hush, man, hush, quit bugging him, quit calling out for him. And as he called, or as they told him to hush, he called even out the more earnestly. And so, and it's really something how that is in that account over in other of the Gospels. They told him to be quiet and to be still. And then when the Lord Jesus says, what's going on with him? Why is he hollering after me? They tell him to come here. The people say, well, be of good cheer. He calleth for thee. And so they tell the blind man to hush. And then when Jesus is interested in him, they encourage him and tell him, be of good cheer. Jesus wants to see you. And Jesus stood, it says in verse 40, and commanded him to be brought unto him. So he said, bring him over here. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do to you? What do you want me to do to you? The Lord Jesus asked. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So he just goes straight to it. Jesus asking, so what do you want me to do? What do you want? You want me to have mercy. That was his cry. Have mercy on me. What do you want me to do to you? How do you want me to be merciful to you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Listen to that. I want to receive my sight, that I may receive my sight. That's what I want you to do. And the Lord says, receive your sight. Your faith has saved thee. His faith. And was it his faith in himself? Was it his faith in the doctors there in Jericho? Was it his faith in mankind and the goodness of mankind? No, faith, once again, we see in the scriptures, is always focused upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, was the cry of the man. Have mercy on me, you son of David, that can do so. You're able to do so. Please have mercy on me. It's like the man in the scripture that the scripture tells us that he said, the leper, I believe it was, if thou will, you can make me clean. And that this man was in the same state. He said, it's not a matter of whether you can or you can't. Make me clean, please. Make me clean. You're able to do so. And the Lord Jesus told him, said, your faith in me. See, that's where faith is focused. Not faith, not sheer will, grit, and determination. Not a positive outlook, although looking to Jesus indeed gives a positive outlook. But it's not the power of positive thinking. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. I think that this man also not only received his sight, but he was saved by the Lord, if he wasn't already. And And Lord, your faith in me has saved you. It saved you from being blind. And I believe it saved him from his sins. I think that these that the Lord engaged in the healing, and that in those cases, he saved their souls too. He made them whole every whit. And the scripture goes on to say in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight. And you see what he says? And followed him, glorifying God. He followed him. Has the Lord saved you? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he saved your soul? Do you follow him? That's a hallmark indication of the salvation of sinners, that sinners saved follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow him. They follow him. Immediately he received his sight, just like in an instant. No spittle in the clay, no, not even being touched by the Lord in any way, physically, but boom, he received his sight. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. They said, hallelujah, hallelujah, what a Savior, what a worker of miracles, What a man with power from God. And of course, the Lord Jesus is God. Says in the scriptures that when Mary was told that she would be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the angel told her his name would be, or was prophesied that his name would be Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And indeed, God has come down to be with us. And what a blessing that the Lord would do such a thing. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, when he became a man, he was a lover of his neighbor as he commanded us to be. Are you saved? I tell you what, if you're not saved, and what do we mean by that? Well, salvation of the Lord is having your sins forgiven. The sins that you've committed against God, forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul changed from a direction of hell and the lake of fire forever to be put on a path, a narrow way, unto glory and blessing and eternity with the Lord. To have your life saved too, to be brought from darkness unto light, that you might know from the scriptures how to walk with the Lord and how being set free to obey him in every way by his power within the sinner saved. And immediately he received his sight, not only physically, but spiritually too. He was saved. He was forgiven. And I pray that you are saved too. If you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, God Almighty, but by him. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.